Let's get back to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. As you know, Paul is writing to the Corinthian church there. He started this church. He's the founding pastor, and he's gone away. He's in Ephesus now, and he gets word back from Chloe's household that there are some issues going on, and they may have brought a letter with them to say, hey, Paul, we've got some questions that we need you to clear up. So we're going to deal with those questions actually starting next week. Paul's going to shift his thoughts to those questions and begin to deal with those. But this week, we're going to finish up the issues that he's talking about with this group of people that we call the libertines. And basically, they're called the libertines because they say, we have freedom to do whatever we want. We are free in Christ. And so Paul's like, let's pump the brakes on that and let's clarify some issues. So starting in chapter 5 and going into chapter 6, there's actually three issues that he deals with. The first one is the issue of the man who's in the incestuous relationship with his stepmom and is proud of it. And the church is like, yay, look how much grace we extend. And Paul's like, kick the dude out. Let's get things right. Then last week, we looked at the issue of lawsuits among Christians and really the fact that we need to sit down face-to-face and hash out our issues instead of taking them and escalating them beyond what we need. And again, we have cultural differences there, but one-on-one believers really should deal with things amongst themselves. And then today, Paul's going to shift his thought back to the issue of sexual ethics. Paul talks a lot about sex in this particular letter. As a matter of fact, coming in a few weeks, he's going to deal with sex within marriage and questions that come up about that. And so this week, he talks about sexual issues or ethics and how we should treat our bodies and treat others, particularly within the issue of people who were believers who were seeking out prostitutes and said, you know what? I've got grace. Let grace abound. And Paul's like, y'all a bunch of idiots. Let's get this thing right. And so he wants to fix that. And so they have some slogans that Corinth is known for. And so Paul's going to use their slogans and then say, hey, let's put some rails on that. So let's read starting in verse 12 and we'll go through verse 20. It says this. Paul, starting at one of their slogans, says, everything is permissible for me, but not everything is helpful. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be brought under the control of anything. Food for the stomach and the stomach for food, but God will do away with both of them. The body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. God raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. God, don't you know that your bodies are a part of Christ's body? So should I take a part of Christ's body and make it part of a prostitute? Absolutely not. Don't you know that anyone joined to a prostitute is one body with her? For Scripture says two will become one flesh. But anyone joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Run from sexual immorality. Every sin a person can commit is outside the body. On the contrary, the person who is sexually immoral sins against his own body. Don't you know that your body is a sanctuary of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. There's two things I want to point out today. Is that, yes, as believers, we have freedom, but we have freedom with some rails. God has given us some guidelines. God has given us some rails that you know what? We are free from sin, but we're not free to sin. And so Paul begins with their slogans, everything is permissible for me. And then he quotes another one, food for the stomach and the stomach for food. But then he begins to qualify these. and begins to add the rails and says, you know what? Yes, as a believer, we are free. We are free. He talks about that freedom that we find in Christ in Galatians, and he has to correct some of their issues as well. He says, you're free, but you're free from sin. You're not free to sin. And that's a lot of what the Corinthian church has gone off the rails, if you will. They say, my freedom allows me to have grace. And the more I sin, the more grace I have. Doesn't God look good when I sin? And then Paul's like, you've lost the plot. You've lost it. You've missed the whole point of what it means to be a servant of Christ. And so he goes and he uses their slogans. Everything is permissible for me. And then Paul puts some qualifications on. He says, you know what? Yeah, everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. A lot of things in our life is permissible, but they're not always beneficial. They're not always the wise thing to do. It may not be illegal, but it's not right. And Paul says, everything is permissible, but not everything is good for me. And then he comes back with another one. He says, you know, not everything or everything is permissible, but I refuse to be mastered by anything. So many people say, you know what? I'm free. I have freedoms. I have rights. I have all this power. And because of my freedom, I can do anything. And Paul's saying, what you're really doing is you're being free to be enslaved to something else. And Paul says, I'm not going to let my freedom become something that enslaves me and something that masters me. And then he specifically deals with the issue of this sexual sin. He goes and he says, another one of your favorite slogans is, food is for the stomach and the stomach is for food. He says, but God's going to get rid of both of those. When you die, you don't need your stomach and you don't need food. And for some reason, I don't know why, but the Corinthians may have correlated that, you know what, if the stomach is for food and food is for the stomach, the body, the flesh, it has these yearnings and these desires, and so sex is to fulfill those desires. Let's do it all. Let's give up all of our ambition. Let's give up everything, and let's live this hedonistic life of just do it. Go on and have fun. Have a party. Enjoy yourself. And without any context, we invite these slogans to be more than what they are. That we can affirm, yes, we have freedom in Christ. But not our freedom doesn't always end up being beneficial to us. That yes, we have freedom in Christ, but our freedom doesn't always end up setting us free. Sometimes it enslaves us. So Paul says, you know what, you guys, you've allowed yourself to be enslaved to this sin. You've allowed yourself to be hurt by this sin. You've allowed yourself to fall into things that are not really beneficial to you. They may be legal. They may be acceptable to others. They may be good in the culture. But when it comes to God and obedience and following him, they are bad for you. And our culture tells us lots of things are good for us. Our culture tells us all of this self-help, all of this think better about yourself, have your best life now, sleep with as many people as you can, do as much drugs as you can, just have fun, enjoy it. That while, yes, you are free to do that as an American, it's not the best thing for you. And in reality, it will enslave you. That you will desire that more than you desire anything else. And Paul says, you know what? Yes, you have freedoms. You have freedom in Christ because he's forgiven your sin. There's no condemnation to you, but there are expectations that you live a life that's worthy of Christ. And that those expectations are because they come as the guardrails for us. That, you know what? Yeah, you can walk on some tightrope, but it's better to walk on a tightrope with handles. So Paul's saying, here's some handles for you guys. Your freedom is bad. The freedom that you are exceeding, the freedom that you're using to sin, it is negative for you. He says, you know what? You said that I've food is for the stomach and the stomach's for food. And so let's just have all the sex we want. Because one day we will not be here. And Paul says, you know what? The body's going to go away. It's going to be destroyed. But guess what? As a believer, you're going to be resurrected. You're going to have a body. Do you want that body to be something that you've misused? Do you want that body to be something that you've used not for the glory of God, but for your own pleasure? The resurrection is a real thing. It's a bodily resurrection, and sexual sin affects the entire body. And Paul says, you guys need to be dedicated to holiness in your body. We misuse our body. We allow our body to be used for things that are not holy. And here in this specific area, it is the issue of sexual immorality, particularly the issue of sex with prostitutes. Now, I have no idea how they came about this. Well, actually, I do, but their reasoning is amazing. Prostitution was part of many types of worship of the pagan gods in the first century. In order to worship certain gods, you would also perform sexual acts. And there were these things called sacred prostitutes. I know that's an oxymoron. But there were sacred prostitutes, temple priestesses, who were willing to have sex with patrons in order to be an act of worship to the god. And what the Corinthian church did, or some within the Corinthian church, they said, you know what, that's a really good practice. Let's bring that into Christianity. We have freedom. God has given us salvation, and it is ours for the taking. So they said, you know what, we used to worship that way, and it was fun. It was a release. We enjoyed it. Let's make that part of Christianity. And so they would go and they would have these prostitutes. Now, I hope it doesn't say this, but I'm going to assume that there were no Christian sacred prostitutes. They went out into the culture and had relationships with prostitutes and flaunted their freedom. Look what I can do. I can have all the hedonistic fun I want because I have freedom in Christ. And then Paul uses the strongest way of saying no in Greek. He says, absolutely not. What you may be translated as, may it never be. Don't do this because you've fallen off the rails. So this is what I want you to get from this. It's freedom. Our freedom in Christ needs to be guided by practicality. It needs to be beneficial to you and not something that hurts someone else. It needs to be mutually beneficial. That yes, you have freedom, but you don't have the freedom to hurt someone else. You don't have the freedom to sin. You don't have the freedom just to do it because you want to do it. There needs to be some practicality to it. And even more so, the second thing is that freedom is to be guided by self-control. The thing we all need most but seems to elude us is self-control. One of the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. One of the things that we need most in our life is self-control. The ability to say no. The ability to push the second piece of cake away. The ability to say, you know what, I'm going to get up today when my alarm goes off and not hit snooze 7 times. Self-control, the ability to overcome just our wants and desires and to be an adult. To show up on time, to do what we're supposed to do, to have responsibility. And it is your responsibility to live the way Christ has commanded you to live. He doesn't just give us a bunch of rules because it's fun for him. No, he gives us these because they are guide rails. They help us in life not to hurt others and not to hurt ourselves. Why does God not want you having sex out of marriage? Why does God want you not to go around premarital sex or adultery or sex with prostitutes or whatever? Why does God put this up? Because sex comes with baggage. And if you're married, it can be beneficial baggage. But when you're not married, you bring that baggage into your marriage. And it creates problems. We say, you know what, pornography, that doesn't hurt anybody. That's just between me. No, it gives you baggage. Baggage you bring into your marriage or to your other relationships that hurts your spouse. And now it's cool, quote unquote, in society for women to do it as much as men almost. God has given us these rails and say, stay away from this sexual immorality. Stay away from this sexual purity. Leave the baggage alone. Because when you don't have self-control, that will lead to bondage. There's a reason that these things are addictive. And it leads to slavery to them, bondage to them. The next thing I want us to see is that, yes, we have freedom. And God has given us these rails. But our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And Paul breaks this down and says, you know what, guys? Yeah, you have freedom. But realize what you're doing. Your body is going to be resurrected one day. Is that something you want teaming up with Christ? Your body belongs to Christ. And he says, when you go in and have these relationships that are immoral, that you, when you go in and you do these things that are wrong, what you're doing is you're taking your body, which is supposed to be meant for holiness, and you are partnering with something that will hurt it. In the 1960s, we had what's called the sexual revolution, which basically said, let's just have a free-for-all. Everybody can do whatever they want. STDs go through the roof. Eventually, here comes AIDS and all these things. The idea was, if it feels good, do it. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll. And Paul says, you know what? You've missed the point. That, yeah, the concept, the social standing in Corinth at the time was basically sex, drugs, and rock and roll. And Paul says, you guys need to stop that. You can't live a holy life. You can't live a life as a child of God and give in to all of these pursuits. You cannot go around sleeping with prostitutes or being sexually immoral. Do you really want to take the temple of God and have intercourse with a prostitute and partner those two together? Now, I could just hear the argument of the Corinthians. Well, you know what? Because I'm free, I can do that. And you know what? By partnering with this prostitute, I am making her better. because Christ is in me. Such a flawed argument. Such a flawed view. You know what? I'm going to make them better. How many times do we date people or hang out with people or partner with people or go into business with people because we think that we can make them better? In reality, they just bring us down. When you play with mud, the mud doesn't get clean. You get muddy. And Paul says, you're taking something that is supposed to be holy, a believer's body, and you're partnering it with something unclean. You're not going to make it clean. You're not going to make it better. You're going to soil what is supposed to be holy. And we can extend that argument beyond just prostitution. While that's the specific problem here in Corinth, we do that as well. We allow our body to be used for the wrong thing. We are willing to use our bodies and give in to all kinds of abuses, such as drunkenness, or I know this is an older sin. It's not cool anymore to do this, but smoking. Or taking drugs. Or, should I say, obesity. I know that's ironic that I'm saying obesity, but still. How are you treating your body? What about sleep deprivation? Being a workaholic where you're so involved with everything else that you deprive your body and you hurt yourself. There's a reason that God rested on the seventh day as an example for us. That you will either Sabbath or your body will make you. Maybe in a hospital, but it'll make you. So Paul says, don't give your body over to sinfulness. Don't give your body over to these passions. In other words, he says, flee from sexual immorality. And the word there is porneia, which is the most general term for sexual immorality and encompasses everything. Not just sleeping with prostitutes, but all sorts of sexual immorality. And I know culture has redefined what sexual immorality, basically saying there's no such thing as sexual immorality. Now you can have sex with anything and anyone, and it's okay. There's even a group of people that's saying that pedophilia should be promoted and be allowed. That is how corrupt and sinful our society is. And God says, run from it all. I almost wonder if Paul has in mind the story of Joseph and Potiphar's wife who continually harassed him to go to bed with him, and he would say, no, no. And then one day she grabbed his shirt and said, we're going to bed, and he ran literally out of his clothes, but he ran from immorality. Something I'm trying to teach my boys is to run from immorality. It is everywhere around us. And for us, it's in our pocket on our phones. It's on our TVs. It's on TikTok. It's on Twitter. It's on Instagram and Chatface and everything. It's on our computers. It's on our television. It is everywhere. It's in commercials. We've got to run from sexual immorality. Why? Because your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. God sent his Son to die for you and to make your body holy. It's the only one you got. While we are being renewed, our body is not. One day, at the resurrection, it will be renewed. But recognize that when you commit sin, you're taking Jesus along with you. When you are participating in this sexual immorality or drunkenness or smoking or drugs or hurting your body in one way or another by abusing it, by not sleeping or whatnot, you are doing abusive things to the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, none of us would ever go around and just start beating up a church with a sledgehammer or go to some temple and start tearing it down and say, well, you know what, it's just, I like it, it's fun. But we do it to our bodies. So Paul says, flee from that, run from that, get that out of your system, have self-control, leave it. Sin is costly. Cost Jesus his life. And he died so that we can have freedom from a lifestyle of sin and rebellion. Our body is a physical extension of Christ in this world. Your body is a physical extension of Christ in this world. Your body is part of the church. Your body is part of what the world sees. They see how you act. They see how you live. They see how you treat yourself. And you declare yourself to be a Christian and that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And the world looks at that and says, their God must not be worth very much to them. He must not be very powerful. They don't treat their body very well. They don't take care of his temple. Also, our body is the living place and the living picture of our relationship with Christ. Our body is a picture of the relationship that we have with Christ. Do we honor him? Do we love him? Do we take care of our bodies? Or do we allow our bodies to be part of sin and to go around and doing whatever we want to do? How you treat your body says a lot about how you view God. You may say, I love him and he's holy and he's just and he's everything I've ever wanted. Yet we treat our body, his temple, as a place where he is not welcome. Last thing is that, I've said it before, but our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Paul talks about temples being in chapter 3 and how he's helping to build the temple. And Peter talks about the church being a temple and that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit because Christ lives in us. The Holy Spirit indwells us. So you may say, you know what, I'm not going around sleeping with prostitutes. Check that sin off my list. I don't have to worry about that one. When you go and you read what Jesus says on the Sermon on the Mount, that if you ever lusted in your heart, you've just done the same thing as sleeping with them. If you've ever said that they're a fool and you've hated them in your heart, you've murdered them. Jesus takes ethics to another level. We need to run from sexual immorality. It is destroying people. Leaders in the church are falling day after day because they've let loose of their self-control and they've fallen into sexual immorality. They've had affairs. They've had all kind of things. People used to look up to and think how great they were and how much God used them. Then you find out they have this moral failure of cheating or having an affair or falling into homosexuality or whatnot. God has given us guidelines. God has given us rails. And you won't know him unless you read his word. So you better know his word and follow him and be obedient to him. In these last moments we have together, will you spend time with the Father? Maybe you need to ask for some forgiveness of places you've been immoral, places you've gone that you should not have. Maybe you need to pray for self-control. Maybe you need to pray for God to forgive you for the way you've treated your body. whatever God speaks to you, will you spend time with him this morning talking about it? Father, your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And we thank you that even though we may fight against them, that you have given us these parameters to live by. That while we may enjoy sin for a season, that in the end it really just becomes addictive and enslaves us. That you've given us these rails, these guardrails to live within, because they're for our best. And they're for your glory. Father, I pray that we would run, flee, turn our eyes, and help us to redirect our minds from sexual immorality. That regardless of what culture tells us, that when we stand before you, culture's not going to be there with us, but it's just going to be us and you. And Father, I pray that we will be found as people who are holy and people who have lived a life that brings you glory, who have treated our bodies well, and Father, I pray that you would give us the strength to do that. In Jesus' name we pray.